Right, to the bottom of Reish Chav Dalet, yeah? Okay, I'll call upon him. So now, again, he's continuing on discussing, based on the principle that we've been talking about, Chassidus being Megala, Elokus, not just in the Iris, but also in the Kalim, and Mela, real Dveikus, requires both Iris and Kalim now. So he's explaining now, Kedarka, a number of Chilukim, a number of changes in Avodas Hashem from the Baal Shem Tov and on. So, at the bottom of Reish Chav Dalet over here, V'loyoyed. So he says like this, V'loyoyed. Again, well, the last thing we saw was, again, that by the Baal Shem Tov, there is what one experiences in one's midas, in one's emotions, in one's earthly activities, is not only, again, before the Baal Shem Tov, obviously, there's a mitzvah, Ahavas Hashem, Nir Hashem, that's what we saw last time. But the human experience of Ahava and Yira in Avodas Hashem is really just you're pushing buttons in order to be piled something elsewhere. And it's really just sort of a medium or an indication of what's going on elsewhere. So you're feeling the sort of the reverberations of that or the indication of that. But it's still a little bit of a disconnect, you know. But the Baal Shem Tov said, no. Like that sphere of chesed that's in the higher realm, that's what you're experiencing when you love Hashem. Like that's what you're experiencing. And the truth is, like we saw last time, that's what you're experiencing whenever you feel any love. You know what I mean? If it's good and holy and permitted, and okay, then that could be directly seen as an experience of something elevated. And if it's an unhealthy ahava, then it is that higher transcendent experience of the sphere of chesed being hijacked by the Yetzirah. But there's a weightiness to one's human experiences. It's not just as a means towards an end, or an indication, or a canary in the coal mine that there's something else going on. No, this is like etzem, like this is an experience. So he says like this: Vloyait. Not only that, Elakivin Shematzo Shematzu Kadeshenu Shaloi Kalechad Yachal Lifel Bishneim. So he says like this: in an ideal world, then a person would be both. A person would be able to be mechavin intellectually and spiritually to the supernal place of, you know, the mid of chesed, at the same time, while you're experiencing and feeling it in your kishkas. And that would be ideal. That's Iris and Kalim coming together. That's a full picture. That would be ideal. But since the tzaddikim understood that not everyone could be holding like that, l'chavin is hakavonis, v'gam lispol b'midayisav, to both have the mental focus and stamina to be mechaving the complicated kavanas, to connect yourself to that higher place, and at the same time allow your emotions to experience what you're going through right now, and to be able to do that is difficult. So therefore the tzaddikim said, you have to therefore make a choice sometimes. Which one am I going to choose? Again, we're talking about, let's say someone's on the madrega where he's able to do the kavanas and the intellectual, you know, contemplative, meditative thing, you know what I mean? But just if he does that, then he's not going to be able to allow his emotions to like feel it. Because it's very mathematical and it's very cerebral. So very often you have to make a choice. And like, if the more you are activating your intellect, the less emotions you're going to feel. The more emotions, the less intellect. So if the ideal is to have a good head and a good heart, and they work in tandem, that's ideal. But very often you can't. So the question is, which one takes precedence? Which one should you sacrifice for the other? Now, again, that's only a question post-Baal Shem Tov. Pre-Baal Shem Tov, emotions. I mean, like, okay, it'll be nice, but like, it's only an indication, or it's only a medium to deepen your attachment to the intellect. So you would never sacrifice the intellect for the emotions. But once the Baal Shem Tov comes and says, no, when you feel it, that's the you're experiencing it. That's real. That's the thing. So now the question is, which one takes precedent? So the tzaddikim said like this, Amru, they said the second line, Lovater al pulas ha-machshava, to forego and to sacrifice for the intellectual side of things, va-kavanas, and the kavanas, the unifications and so on that you do mentally, ma'asher al avoidis ha-ruach va-guf b'midas, to sacrifice that in order to protect and to give space for the emotional and experiential side of Yiddishkeit. Again, this doesn't, he's not talking about sacrificing, again, that's a shmuz by itself, learning, or we're talking about it within the context of davening and doing mitzvahs and avodas Hashem for someone that's on the level of where it's kavanas or hislavas. Again, for people like us, that's not a choice. It's not our ish. It's not our nisyanis. Okay, But it's good to know the concept, because then it filters down to people like us to understand the idea. So he says that the tzaddikim said by again post Baal Shem Tov to sacrifice kavanis for the purpose of dveikus and eslavus and emotion. Again, the ideal would be to have both, and when you're able to do both, then one feeds the other also.
Tzaddikim don't get to that level, but they do both.
There are tzaddikim like that. Not, by the way, not all tzaddikim, and not at all times. So he's talking, and this is talking about, he's not even talking, I mean, clearly the discussion of yours is talking about already high people, right? But not all tzaddikim, you know, again, this is all, by Marshall, again, by the Litvish show, by the Svardish, this is not a question yet. This is not a discussion. Kavanis is still Everest. So as much as you can have kavanis, that's the ideal. And the Dvekis and Hislava, certainly they would agree that it's a beautiful thing if you can feel it also, but that's not necessarily worthy enough. That's not important enough to sacrifice kavanas. But by the Baal Shem Tov, it is again. So nowadays also you have tzaddikim that, you know, not even tzaddikim like, but from the Hasidic world that are able to do kavanas. They don't always do it. It's not like, you know, and part of the, there's a number of reasons for that. But one of the reasons is because it, you know, sometimes you have to. You know, if the person's not, if the person's, you know, tired, whatever it is, and he only has so much energy, so it takes time to focus. Yeah. I mean, the way to do it is, again, it takes time to be able to do both. But it he's gonna himself like tell us a little bit some mitzvahs from the tzaddikim about how to slowly but surely train yourself to be able to do both. But. You know, I'll tell you something. I gave a shir for the Neshed yesterday morning, so I'll just mention something I said there, and I think it's practical, and for all the, you know, as practical as these things are. But the Baal Shem Tov said that a person has to go with baby steps. You have to train yourself. So Baal Shem Tov said, for example, there's a way of you have to practice being able to sort of hold on to your meichin while you're. Doing things that are even mundane or seemingly insignificant. The example the Baal Shem Tov gave was, if a person's in a good headspace, then don't waste it. Use it for training. In other words, the example he gave was take a broom and start sweeping the floor. And then, because that activity, let's say, of sweeping the floor is not, it doesn't take up too much headspace. I mean, you have to have some level of, obviously, some level of focus to be able to sweep a floor, but it's not a major. You know, it doesn't take up the head so much. And so you could then practice keeping your head in a certain kavana while engaging in other sides of who you are. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you sweep the floor with the kavana, the Rebbe Shmuel should sweep all the klipas away from my, you know, things like that. But that's a way of engaging. So it's like it's practicing. I'm giving that as an example. It's not our sugya right now, but giving an example of practicing. Huh? Very good. Yeah. That's my
seal. Not much to do, but just
whatever. Al-Das said tzaddikim.
With the kavanis open in front. Whatever the tzaddikim will understand kavanis have in front.
But this is, but that's beautiful. That's a good thing that we're talking about. But even practicing to actually have kavanis, to train oneself to be able to do like two things at the same time and to sort of unite them. He says over here an example. He says. The last line of Reish Chavdal. So he says this idea we brought in Chavis Al Tamidim in that particular spot. From the Baal Tanya, that the Baal Tanya discussed this issue of sacrificing kavanis for the emotional, for the hislavas, yes or no, and how. So. Again, like I said, this is only a question post Baal Shem Tov, but the Baal Tanya said like this, Shebepratis kavanas atfila, that when it comes to the details, a lot of the kavanas are very technical and detail-oriented. Avmi sheidei lechavein, even if you know it and you can do it, but again, because of the concern that it's going to take away from your emotional investment, gamkin lekalechad yichavein oisam. It's not necessarily recommended that you should. In other words, because of this concern. So b'shas tefillah, therefore, what the Baal Tanya said was, B'shas tefila yichaveim rak is tamsa, says Yonim. So Baal Tanya suggested that if you're going to have kavanas more in the you know sort of the general idea or the more essential points, but not the details. Again, it's hard to. I'm not going to give examples of this, but in the kavanas there are certain kavanas which are major, and those are more to a certain degree even simple. And you could allow yourself to maintain the emotional investment in davening. Then the pratim, the details, and different gematrias and different ways to do that, that might be too much. It might take too much of a toll on one's energy. So that you should forego. Vespertehem yilma b'shas alima. The details you should learn. I mean, you learn it a person learns. You can learning that's kabbal. That's called learning. But during davening, only do the klal yistika kavana, which doesn't distract from the emotions. He said like this. He said chutz mi kavanas kriyishma. Except for the kavanas by kriyishma, shetzarch lechavim. Baal Tanya held that when it comes to kriyishma, that you should put in your effort and to try to do it even bipratis. But again, that's because that's considered to be a major, centerpiece in the kavanas. So that he said to do. But other than that, don't get involved with the pratim. Ayin sham. V'cheinis v'sefer sumira mi'agoyin atzadik v'mkul v'akadosh ratzvi mizidachov. And we have a similar idea from Bereshit Zidachover in a sefer sumira. It's a sefer, yes, it's called sumira v'asei toiv. It's based on Ruchai Vital, and we mentioned this before, that Ruchai Vital wrote an introduction to the Kisveri and telling you where you have to be holding in order to allow yourself to learn these things. And so it's a whole thing of things that you have to check boxes of sur mirah, of things that you're staying away from in negative, and boxes that you have to check for asei toiv. And so that's where he says this thing that you have to. I think we mentioned it in this learning that he says that the learning has to be al menas lasis. It has to be al menas lasis. Every learning always has to be al menas lasis to be practical. What does practical mean? So that's what Rechaim Vital said. It means kavanas. Right, that's what we spoke about. That the almanas lasis changes. So there's a sefer from Rav Hershel Zidachover that he wrote a pirish on this sur mirah v'asei toiv, but it's not a pirish like that. What Rav Chaim Vital wrote is not difficult to understand. You don't need a pirish on it, but it's sort of I wouldn't call it a pirish. It's sort of like translating it for his generation. And this is something that Tzvi Harish Zidachover did, is to show that the conditions and the stipulations that Rechaim Vital set up, you have to fill those conditions, but what that means, that box to check, changes with every generation. That's what the Sefer is about. It's a huge, big shoulders to say that, but that's what he does over there. So over there in the Sefer Sur Mirah, the Chelik Bei Shnik Rasei Toiv, in the second part of it, so he says. A similar idea. And again, this doesn't mean to say that by the Chassidish Rebbe you don't need Kabbalah at all. So you see, I was going the opposite, right? Like we said last time, the reputation is Chassidim. It's the Baal Shem Tov was pro Kabbalah, and the Vilna Gaon is anti. But now, when you know the truth, it's really opposite. So now he has to pull the other way. Don't think that by the Chassidim we're anti-Kabbalah, right? That's like what you have to say. So it doesn't mean that. Because we just quoted from the Baal Tanya, that of course you have to learn even the details that the Baal Tanya said not to have Kavana during davening, but he said to learn them before davening. But it's just a matter of during the Kavana. So the Baal Tanya says this, Rav Hershel Zidachover says this, V'chein v'sefer kodesh noyim l'melech, and Noemach says the same thing, but Parshas Lech, Parshas Lech Lecha, B'dir Maschel Vayavar, Isa, and so he quotes it. He says, "V'zedas kana hakol kana." He's talking about the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that it says, "If a person has das, then you have everything." So what's a loymer? So the Noemach explains like this: Shemetchila tzarch adam shila yediya. That a person you first have to know. You have to know. Ayde limud kolaylemis. Yeah, you have to learn Kabbalah, you have to learn all the infrastructure of the higher world and all the kavanas that are involved in that. And then you have everything. In other words, the actual using it by davening is not the das kana. If you have the knowledge of it, that's hakol kana, then you have it. Right? What's a loimer? You could then reach the level of where, to the madrig of kavanas. Is that ikir b'tfilasai? Okay. And in Parshas Kedesh, the Maimon Melech writes, he says the following thing: Shemi Sharak Mam and Sheyesh Bari Echad Amiti. Someone that, in other words, he's bringing his right now. He's bringing these sources to show the other way that it's important to learn Kabbalah and to understand these inyanim, despite the fact that the Chassidish Rebbes are not pushing to have them to actually be mechaving. So that's what he's saying over here. That's what the Maimon Melech was saying, is that a person should have the idea, the knowledge of what's going on in the higher world. And that's a fundamental thing. But again, to actually have a kavanis, that's what he's saying, is not like that. So he says the same thing also in Parshas Kedoshim. Shemisha rak mamin sheish bar yechad amiti. Someone that just believes that there's one God. Ve'inu choyker v'dorish kol masvi sparach, but he's not interested in investigating and understanding and learning about the one God. Hanifloim ba'al masalyonim, the higher world of spheres and so on. Ve'ech nechazim v'shem HaKadosh, and how it's all connected to the names of Hashem. The person's not interested. Again, you have to know how to do it, but if a person's not interested, b'chlal, in knowing these things, as lo zeh derech amiti, that's not the true path. So the true path is, again, to be interested in these things, to want to learn them, and to learn them. Again, the question is actually to practice the kavanas by davening, where the point is that it sacrifices one's emotions. That they said not. Upagamulai, it's a blemish on a person if they're not interested in knowing these things. The Chaim Sefer Sumerah now by Sofis at Tzadik HaKadosh Rav Tzvi Elimelech, Baal B'nei Sasri, so also the notes that were added to the Sefer of Sumerah V'asei Toiv by the B'nei Sasri, the nephew of Rav Tzvi Hershman Zidich, not the nephew, like a Talmud. So he says, Zel Shein HaKadosh, this is what the B'nei Sasri adds, V'yido Teida, and you should know, Shelo Yavin Was Divri HaBaal Shem Tov Zatzal B'Sifrei, you're not going to understand the words of the Baal Shem Tov and Sifri Chassidus, unless you know Kabbalah. So there's no question about it that it's, you know, again, that's the irony over here. He's like, he has to now, you know, convince us that that Chassidus, like, is into Kabbalah. Like, you know, again, it's just one of the, once you appreciate how Chassidus de-emphasized the golden standard of Kavanas by davening, so then you need some reinforcement that it doesn't mean that they, you know, disregarded the whole limud of Adonat. It's just a matter of understanding, you know, what has priority during davening. That's what he says. Now, what's interesting is that he then goes on to say, and again, it's all this, like, the next paragraph, we'll see. Okay, well, I guess we'll stop with this. We'll continue tomorrow. But the next paragraph is going to be interesting because based on this idea, he's going to show how actually Chassidus comes also to lower the, lower the bar for how much a person has to, the madrega that a person has to be able to actually learn Kabbalah. Because once, we're going to see, once the Baal Shem Tov opens the door for us to realize that everything we're experiencing is the higher world anyway, so then the barrier between us and the higher world is like almost insignificant. So like before the Baal Shem Tov, if a person wants to be Zaycha, to get to those high madrigas of attaching oneself to the higher world, you got to climb a tall ladder. And so that requires a lot of Avodas Hashem, a lot of madrigas, fasting and so on in order to get there. But by the Baal Shem Tov, what ladder? That's where you live. You're living in the higher world. So then it's just a matter of like learning about your own environment. So the standards are much lower in terms of allowing yourself to learn these things. Again, this is the dynamic. It de-emphasizes the significance of Kabbalah in terms of its place during davening, but on the same time, it also makes it more, the learning of Kabbalah becomes more accessible to everyone as well, because that's the environment that you're, you know, before the Baal Shem Tov, the response, you know, usually, you know, Anastaris LaHashem, hidden secrets are for God, and the revealed secrets are for you. But comes the Baal Shem Tov said, guess what, you're living in the same place as the Ribbono Shel Olam is, you're also living in this, you're also living in secrets. So that's, you know, there's a maisa that's, there's a story they say with Rav Nachman, Rav Nosson. It's a good story to remember. Yid once was talking to Rav Nosson, I quote this from the past, that he said to Rav Nosson, he wanted to get some chizik because he was having a hard time with Shidduchim. So I don't know if it was his Shidduchim, his kids, or some any with Shidduchim. So Rav Nosson said to him, okay, you know, the truth is Yaakov Avinu also had a hard time with Shidduchim. So he's like, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu's, we compare me to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu's whole life was secrets of Torah. We can compare him to Rachel and Leah. So Rav Nosson said, your life is also secrets of Torah. The difference between you and Yaakov is Yaakov knew it and you don't. That's the only difference. But it's those secrets of Torah. Again, that means that now the sugyas of Kabbalah are it's your sugyas. This is what you're going through. This is what you're living through. So again, on the one hand, it opens up the door for these things for even simple people. But again, that's what his point was over here. But by davening, the ikr is the experience of the heart, because the heart is significant too. That's the idea. Okay, position will continue tomorrow.